king, to the kingdom, and to the fellowship. And I also pointed out that we're growing as a church, and that we're having visitors, and we're seeing salvations, and people are getting baptized. And with that, we have younger Christians that need love. And the accountability is about us as a family knitting together and loving people. But in saying that, there's a premise that I was building on, which I want to share on this morning. And that is that we can't do any of that if we're not in relationship with God the Father. It's all on a presumption that we are in a relationship with God the Father. And I want to point out this morning why. Why that's necessary. Why we have to be in that relationship. And for my own sake, I'm calling it self-accountability. Because it's on you to walk it out with God. It's not on a leader. It's not on your brother. This is about you walking out your salvation with God and relying on Him. And really going into the next season, and we're talking a lot about December holidays. And just in case people were wondering why we set out so many chairs, there's a lot of students that have gone home for the holidays. But it's amazing to see it all got filled up, so you're all welcome. But there are people already that have gone, and there are more people that will be going away for the holidays. But really, in this next season, we need to be relying on God. I blame Howie for having to drink so much water this morning. So to start off with, we all one day are going to have to give an account for our lives. And we often talk about how submit to the elders as those that are going to give an account for your life. Before they do that, you are going to have to give an account for your own life. And that is the substance of this. And it's quite a weighty thing. You know, some people might think, well, I'm a Christian, so I know God, so that, I guess, means I go round that test and I go straight into heaven, right? But no, God says everybody will stand before Him. And so the first scripture I want to go into is Romans 14, verses 10 and 12. Romans 14, 10 and 12. And I'll read it on the board, so we're all reading the same thing. I'm pulling out parts of it, so the second half. For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. We will all stand before the judgment seat of God. So then each of us will give an account of him and herself to God. And that's quite a weighty thing of like one day on my own before God. This is the God that in the Bible they say, if you see him, you will die. It's quite a momentous moment, but he wants to see us. He wants to meet with us. And so if I think about that, if I think about Judgment Day, and the phrase that comes to mind for me immediately when I thought about this was, wretched man that I am. That's the immediate reaction that I had in reading that scripture. Like, I'm in trouble. There's problems here. And, yeah. And so let's read through that. So this is the reaction of Paul. Now I want to remind you, this is Paul the Apostle, who wrote a large portion of the New Testament. A guy who got shipwrecked 3 times, got beaten I don't know how many times. He died at least once and was resurrected from the dead. This is not a guy who kind of sat on the couch behind his computer and put out scripture. He lived it. But this is where he got to. So this is Romans 7, verses 21 to 24. So I find it to be a law that when I have to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inner being. But I see in my members another law waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Okay, now that's the ESV. If you read it in the NLT, it's a bit easier reading because you get to a point where there's laws and then there's laws of laws and wars and laws, and it becomes a bit of a Dr. Seuss book. But the weightiness of it is, in his mind, he's like, I know God. I know what God has for me. And I want to serve God because I love him. I met God on the road to Damascus, and I love him, and I want to serve him. But there's something else inside me that's making me do weird stuff. This is Paul. This is not some half-Christian. And so if that was true for him, I'm pretty sure that's true for every single one of us, myself included. There's this thing that's waging war inside of us of how am I going to do it? So if that's the case, even with the Holy Spirit, I'm still struggling to do right. What exactly am I going to say on Judgment Day when I stand before God? And he's like, hey, Ian, remember all that stuff you did? Let's go through it quickly. Let's go through, remember when you said this to this person or ignored that person? And it gets quite weighty. But I'm not going to stop there, don't worry. There's a second half. And if you go on one more verse to Romans 7:25, we got the answer. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's the solution. The solution for coming face to face with God is God. And he gives it to us there. And it's this amazing understanding that I can't do this alone. I need God. And because I need God, I want more of God. And that's why I'm doing what I'm doing. That's why I'm living what I'm living. So thanks be to Jesus. I'm going to read a passage from a famous German evangelist who does a lot of work into Africa, seeing millions of people come to the Lord. So this is a high-powered man. This is a guy who has seen all kinds of crazy miracles, again, kind of like Paul. And this is a quote from Reinhard Bonnke, if you guys have heard of him. And the title of it is, "We Are Not Self-Sufficient." We are designed to be dependent on the grace and power of God. Apart from him, we can do nothing. God puts his Spirit into us because we need him to comfort, to guide, and even to correct us. He activates his gifts and power in us because we need it for his mission. We are not self-sufficient little Christs. We receive, moment by moment, out of Christ's fullness, our fullness, like the branches of a vine receiving sap. We are not vines unto ourselves, living separate existences, but we are complete in him. We are not called to go into the entire world with our own little power plant so that people will think how wonderful we are. If we do, soon our personal power plant will run out of fuel. We are not generators. We are but conductors of his power. We are channels, not the source. Jesus declared, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. So like I said, the secret to living and to living a godly life is to let God live through you. And that's what this morning's about. All right. So if we all agree on that truth, then there's a foundation I want to quickly check in on. So I think everybody was aware of that. I don't think I broke anybody's doctrine. If I did, come and chat to me afterwards. But there's a foundation I do want to check on that I felt God had put on my heart recently. And the thing I want to check is our foundation of, do we understand the source of the light that is in us, the source of the life that is in us? Do we understand its source? And the phrase that I want to put out there for each of you is that we are all called to be empowered. We are all called to be Spirit-led. And we are all called to be light bearers, carriers of his light. So we're all called to be empowered, Spirit-led light bearers. And we were talking recently about accountability and the role of leaders in accountability. And the comment came out that we cannot, as leaders, be overbearing. I cannot phone you every morning as the pastor and say, "Hi, how are you? Did you have your quiet time? Are you on your way to work? Did you remember to wear matching shoes? ... No. Because what's that going to do? That's going to promote immaturity. You know, I've got a 6-year-old daughter and an 8-year-old boy, and she loves to dress herself. And sometimes the results are very interesting. Yesterday I told Zach, he was walking on the stones at our house, and I could see he was limping because he's walking on the stones. Like, oh, I'm like, go put some shoes on. No, I'm fine. I'm like, no, seriously, go put some shoes on. And it's hot. So I expect, he was wearing his flip-flops earlier, so I expect him to come out his flip-flops. He comes out in his army boots and socks. He's there in his t-shirt and shorts. And I'm like, what are you doing? Go back. So at 8 years old, it makes sense. But that's, we're called to be empowered, to be spirit-led, and to be bearers of light. But where does that light come from? Who is that light? So we can put up John 1, and there are a couple of passages out of John 1 that we're just going to read through. So in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. And all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And it's when it says he, so we jumped ahead to verse 8, and we're talking here about John the Baptist. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. Again, here we're talking about the true light is Jesus. And we jump to verse 12. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. And here that he is Jesus. So if we recap that, God is the Word, Jesus is the Word. So it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And that was Jesus. Jesus was the very essence. Jesus spoke this world into existence through a Word. So he was the Word that came in. But he was more than just that. He is also the light. And he's the light that overcomes the darkness in this world. And everybody who believes in Jesus has that light, walks as a child of God. And that's very foundational to it, is that, and the reason I want to bring this up is something I've been, and I've got to be careful how I say this, but there's this song that's become a kid's song. So they sing it often in kids' church. And you, if you were singing Christian songs as a kid, you might have even sung this one because it came from quite a while ago. But it's, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Everybody know that one? We're not going to start singing, don't worry. But this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. And we walk this world, we walk in this world of like, I'm a Christian, I've got the Holy Spirit, I have the power to walk in this world. But there's a slight problem there. It's not me. It's Christ in me that is the hope of glory. And so often, like the quote said, we are not the power plants. We are the conduits. But so often we get to a space where we're like, I've heard a couple of good preachers. I've sung a good few songs. I know the scriptures. Now you get some people who get to the point of like, I've got enough out of the word to carry on. The problem with that is that our mind gets involved and starts to twist the scriptures. Our mind gets involved and starts to change through our own kind of heart desires what's good and what's bad. And unless we are constantly plugged in to the source, we can't be light bearers. We can't carry that light. So this little light of mine is Jesus. It's not me. I'm going to let it shine. Is I'm going to make myself available to let Jesus shine through me. And I'm going to give him the glory. And so I'm going to bear his fruit. I'm going to be a vessel to carry his light. So yesterday we had Kate's parents over, and Shame. I think they were there for about 3 hours, and Kate's dad spent those 3 hours in our backyard trying to make something. He's an electrical engineer by trade, so he got his hands involved with some wires, and that was him for 3 hours. And after 3 hours, they're building for us this backup generator type thing. So if we have a rolling blackout, we've got a battery, like a car battery, that you can plug your TV into. So while the rest of the world is suffering, we will have TV. They were like, you can plug anything in. You can plug in your fridge, you can plug in the iPad, but you can plug in your TV. I was like, okay, we'll weigh it up, what we plug in, what's urgent and life essential. But after 3 hours of working on this thing, I walked into the house and I said, guys, we've got good news and we've got bad news. The good news is that the thing works. The bad news is it only works if you plug it into the wall socket. And I was thinking this morning, and God was like, you see, unless you're plugged into the power, you don't have any light. So, sorry, Dad, but thanks for the example. And Jesus, he's the one that gets us from today to eternity. He's the one that's going to take you from where you are today to stand before the Father on Judgment Day. And he's the one that'll carry you. He's the light. He is, the Bible says, he is the lamp unto our feet. And in heaven, when you get to heaven, there's no sun, there's no moon, there's no nighttime, there's no darkness, because we'll be with God, and God is the light. And there'll be no sin, because God is there with us. But I know how we want to be. We're modern men and women. We know how things should be. We want our Christian walk to be this freeway, this nice, like, three-lane, we're not going to be excessive, let's make it a three-lane freeway that goes straight into our destiny. And it's going to be well-lit, and there's going to be lights everywhere, and I can just hit the freeway and drive. But that's not what God's called us to. God says, I'm a lamp unto your feet. I want to walk with you step by step. I want you to go through the rocky mountain pass, like Psalm 23 talks about. And I will be with you in it, step by step. So the secret to getting through this life and to living this life well is intimacy and personal time with God, especially in this season. So for many of us that are going to home groups, those home groups are going to close soon for the holidays. But like I said last week, don't just go off the grid. Keep on spending time together. But that said, there is going to be a degree. If some of you might be going away to go visit family back home, I always say back home because this is your home, but you can go somewhere else for a bit of time. But in that time, now more than ever, we need to be plugged in to the source. So as I start coming into a land, to a landing, there's one last analogy I want to use. And it's summertime, and it's hot, and it's Cape Town, so I think most of you can relate to this. But I want to talk about a swimming pool. All right? And I grew up in a home that had a swimming pool, so I grew up with a little bit of, it was amazing to have a swimming pool. But the best thing about growing up with a swimming pool is that you don't have to look after the swimming pool. That was my dad's problem, not mine. And I don't know why he did it, but he built a really big swimming pool. But I want to use an analogy of a swimming pool, because earlier this year, we were talking about our kids growing up and what's good for them and how to draw people into our home, how to draw friends of the kids into our home. We want our home to be an open home where our kids can grow up in the life of God with people. And so we felt that a pool would be quite beneficial in that. Yes, you see where I'm going. And I said we, but I mean the idea came from Kate. She was like, babe, it'll be really good for us to have a swimming pool. And I was like, I saw my dad with a swimming pool. I'm a bit scared to have a swimming pool. And she said, don't worry, I know how to look after a swimming pool. I will look after it. I was like, okay, no, well, it'll be a team effort. Don't worry. But it won't be a big one. It'll be a nice sized one. So I want to talk about the maintenance of a swimming pool. And there are four very important elements I am finding more and more of maintaining a swimming pool. And the first one is chemicals. Well, in our case, salt. We've got a salt pool. The second one is topping up the water. Because, you know, without water, it's just a skate park. The next one is that net that you have to use to pick up all the leaves. Because, you know, every good swimming pool is positioned under trees that overhang. That's where you put a swimming pool. And then the last one is that creepy crawly thing that goes around the bottom of the pool. And I felt like God saying, that's a little bit like our life. And there are four elements to get us through in this life and to live a godly life. And when we talk about the salt, I felt like God saying, that's the people of God. That's us as a family. The Bible talks about we are the salt of the earth. We are the salt to the world. So we are family. We are the salt. Now, a swimming pool without chemicals, and you guys might remember back in the day, you'd have to get your HTH little thing out, and Clint's nodding because I think he did it back in the day. And I remember watching my dad. It was amazing. Like, he'd pour something in, and then he'd look at it, and then he'd walk away for 10 minutes to think and calm down and come back again. That was the biggest concern for me. But that is essential, because if you don't do that, you end up with a koi pond, which sounds great for fish, but I'm a sheep. The next thing is the water and topping up the water. And that I felt God say is the Holy Spirit. And we often talk about the river of God, the flow of God. That's the Spirit in our lives, walking with us. And you know, you go through summer and the water starts to go down and it can be quite destructive. Your pool can actually break if you're not topping up the water. And the same for us. If we are called a church, we call a family, and we have everything else, but we don't have God, we're as good as an empty swimming pool. Right? Then you've got the what I call it, the net. And I felt like the net was the fruit of life. And there are many things in the Bible that talks about patience and kindness and love and generosity. And those are the fruits of living in the fellowship and living in the Spirit. That's what will come out of your life. And as you're doing those things, it's like God comes with a net. And he scoops off all the imperfections. He scoops off all the leaves. And he takes out everything that's going to distract you. And make the pool look a bit messy. And then there's the creepy crawly. Because not everything stays on the top. You know, if you've got a helpful child who wants to fill your pool. Except they don't have access to water, so they'll find some sand. Not good for your pool. And those are the deep things. So I felt God saying, these are the roots. These are the deep truths that you have to wrestle with in God. And there might be things that you've grown up with that are a bit cracked or a bit different. Like maybe, like I was saying earlier, you felt this little light that I'm shining me. As long as I'm true to myself, so you hear a lot nowadays, as long as I'm true to myself, I'm doing the right thing. But there are these things that are rooted in us, that are deep down, that God wants to take out. Because they get in the way of what he has for you. And he wants to replace them with what he has for you. He wants to plug you in to what he has for you. And maintenance is hard. I'm not going to lie. And the bad news is maintenance is hard whether you use the swimming pool or don't use the swimming pool. If you choose not to use the swimming pool in the winter, you can let it go. Fine, then it's easy. But then you're going to have something. You're just deferring the inevitable. Thank you. But whether we're using it or not, but I felt like God saying to me, but if you use it, if you enjoy it, it's worth it. Cleaning the pool isn't such a slog if you're planning to jump in afterwards. So then you do want to build up a bit of a sweat, so it's worth it. And I felt God saying that to us. It's going to feel like a slug to plug in with his people. It's going to feel difficult to have your quiet times if you're not seeing the life and the fun and the joy of God through it. And that's what he wants for you. He wants you to enjoy this life with him. We're called to be joyful and to be full of joy. And that's when it makes it worth it. And the other thing I felt God saying was, the bigger the pool, the higher the maintenance. So even this, and this is a word actually for the leaders, to say, maybe you are anointed. Maybe you do walk well with God. But that means you need to be more plugged in, not less. It's not vice versa. We all need to be plugged in. And then the last thing I wanted to share on this analogy was that there are ways to make your maintenance easier. And so you get those hard covers you can put on the pool. Not the geo bubble that kind of floats and lets everything that tries to stop a bit of evaporation, but you get those solid ones with the frame and the bars that go through it. And I felt like God saying that there are ways to help you. And so the question is, have you put solid boundaries into your life? Have you got solid boundaries in place to keep out the things that aren't of God? And those solid boundaries might be the movies that you watch, the books that you read, the people you spend time with. And I've heard about people who have a bar ministry. You know, they go to the bar to go and meet with people and draw them into the Lord. And if you can do that, it sounds good, but it's quite risky. But most people have heard about that. They also talk about you have to be relevant. It's a very important part of it. And so there's a wisdom that we have to find in this life of, we're here to shine our light into the world. That doesn't mean we can look like them and be like them. We've got to be different. It's what God's called us to be. And having those boundaries in place are very essential. And so as we're going into a season of rest, I felt like God's saying, maintain your maintenance. Keep walking it out. Otherwise, come January, you will have a green pool, and you will have to go through shock therapy. All right. So in landing, some very practical points I wanted to share. And you're probably never, ever going to look at my swimming pool again, the same again. You're all welcome to my swimming pool, but but some practical points. Don't take a break from your quiet time. And we were talking about it, and it was a point of like, you're on leave from work maybe. That means you have more time, not less time. Yes, maybe you've got less structure. You don't have to wake up so early. But you've actually got more time to spend with God. So use your time wisely. Jesus said, come to me and I will give you rest. And then people say, yeah, but Jesus kept on doing miracles on the Sabbath. So obviously, you know, he didn't mind if we keep busy. But Jesus did believe in rest. He rested often. What he didn't like was when people were using the law and the rules to keep you away from God. So be careful that you don't fall into the trap of the Pharisees when you are resting. Because then it's that sense of, God's called me to rest, so I'm going to rest. And he's like, no, rest with me, not from me. Come and be with me. Don't fall into that trap. And then the second point is, think about your holiday traditions. And we were talking about this as an eldership team this week. But think about your holiday traditions and ask God if any of them aren't healthy and if you actually want to break them. You know, often we just do what we do because it's what we've always done. Okay? But some of them might not be healthy. So go to God and say, what do you want me to do? Do you want me to go to my family or not? How long must I go to my family for? Is it the whole holiday? Is it a couple of days? So just think about what you've set up in your mind already, in your subconscious. And then, like I said last week, stay connected. Stay connected to the family. Even if you're going away, stay in contact. Finally, WhatsApp is working for the kingdom. Stay connected. And then lastly, in your season of being tired, And this is a warning that has come through to us. In your season of being tired, be very careful of moral compromise. Because when you're tired, this happened to my kids this week, because the enemy likes to attack you when you're down. But my kids, they were asleep. And this week, one and then the other would have nightmares. And it's terrible, because what are they supposed to do about it? They can't protect themselves from it. But there's that sense of when you're tired, when you're resting, when you're switching off, there's just be mindful of moral compromise and stay close to God with it.